B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Stuff, but you listen. We appreciate you, brother.
That's all. I appreciate you, everything you said. Thank you.
I've never heard anything like that.
I want to play right now.
Right?
I swear to God, if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm like, can we move the game up to now for tonight?
I got chills.
He said thank you.
Yeah. He sat there like a school kid listening to a mentor and absorbed it and took it all in. I'll tell you what, the rest of the league might be pissed off at Shaq and Charles Barkley for waking up this giant.
I started the 5 o'clock hour.
Thank
you, Shaquille O'Neal. Thank you, Charles Barkley. You lit a fire under his ass and you awoke the beast.
Our friend.
Just do it every game.
Our friend and Philly native and Temple alum, Kevin Agandi of ESPN, big, you know, obviously 4-for-4 Philadelphia sports fan, tweeted out, you know, thank you, Shaq. Thank you, Chuck. This is the lion that Joel Embiid needs to be, as a matter of fact. Like, you're listening to that, Trey? That's a young buck listening to the, you know, the retired guys, the Hall of Famers, and he's if you talk about eating something up with a spoon, he's eating that up.
Yeah, because he knows how good he is. He knows that he wasn't playing up to the standard that he could play, you know, or playing up to where his level. And so for you to have two greats sit there and say, hey, look, man, dude, we see the greatness in you, and they're not trying to tear him down. They're trying to build him up. So everything that they said, it wasn't a tear down session when they were critiquing him. It was pretty much giving him the roadmap of what he needs to do to be the greatest player in the game.
It's really cool. I was listening to Shaq the other day. I guess it was later Tuesday night or maybe Wednesday he was talking, and he said, it's not criticism. He said, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar used to pick on me because he knew I could be great. He was showing me the way. He wasn't criticizing. He was telling me how it's done. And Shaq seems to be doing the same thing for Embiid, and I couldn't love it anymore. It's great.
No, it's the best thing I've seen.
Yeah, it really is. Talk about one of the most dominant players to ever walk on a basketball court in Shaquille O'Neal. He just dominated people physically and broke them. And to have Joel open ears and responsive to that, it's incredible.
And Embiid is way more skilled.
Oh, yeah.
Shaq
was dominant.
He just went out there and enforced his will. But Embiid is way more skilled than these cats. And if he can just mix some of that aggressive, that takeover mentality like they had, man, this man could be the greatest, the best ever to play the game.
I think there's almost a hint of jealousy in Shaq when he talks about Embiid. Because I always think back to Shaq on the line. He couldn't shoot at all. He was like a 45% free throw shooter.
Right.
And he sees Joel Embiid out there gracefully shooting threes and shooting 80% from the line and still being physically dominant. And he's like, damn, this guy could be great, great.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're a former player or a fan media member, you want to see greatness. Like, you
absolutely
love to see greatness. So for Shaquille O'Neal, yeah, you're right, Jamie. A bit of jealousy, yes. But he also wants to see one of the greatest players who he thinks might be one of the greatest players live up to all that potential.
Jealousy just in like, wow, this guy's so skilled.
Yeah.
Not jealousy like he resents
that.
Him, you know?
Sure.
It's just like, damn, this guy could be an all-timer.
Shaq is eighth all-time in scoring in the NBA.
Yeah.
What if he made...
I know,
right? 25% more of his free throws.
Hack a Shaq was a thing.
What if he did that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Probably like second or third.
I think Will Chamberlain, if he never made a foul shot, was it? He'd still be top 10 in scoring or something like that.
Yeah, there was
how insane is that?
I think when Harden went for fifth, what do you go for 50 or something the other night? It said most 50-point games on the road. Harden was second with 3. Chamberlain had like 55. I grew up in the business with people that covered Will Chamberlain,
right.
You know, the older people, the Stan Hockmans of the world and all. And they can't, they gave up trying to tell stories about how good he was. Like, Stan would literally be like, nobody will understand. He palmed a 16-pound bowling ball.
Like, what?
He palmed a 16-pound bowling ball.
I know, it's just like, what?
And this is coming.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
To hell with your bar graphs, Jamie.
Yeah, seriously.
Tell me about Will Chamberlain.
Yeah. It's good to see Bob back being positive after he poo-pooed the Eagles sack stat.
I didn't poo-poo it. I just said it didn't floor me.
Like, there's a little...
Jamie was floored.
We're not going to see you poo-pooed a little bit.
You poo-pooed a little bit.
Ah, that's... what did you... It's poopy cock.
Yep.
The phrase is poppycock.
I understand.
Jamie came out with poopycock today.
Well, you know.
He thought that's what it was.
There are issues people have sometimes, I guess.
Old English is tricky, Bob.
610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Don't forget, keep it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, because a little bit later today, 8:30, we're going to be starting to announce some numbers here for people to win the Birds travel tickets to go and see the Birds play here, courtesy of the great people of phillysportstrips.com, where you can go see the game this weekend. It's a road trip down to D.C. It includes a great trip down there with a charter bus, awesome tailgate with food by Cavs Catering, unlimited drinks, tickets as well to the game. Unreal experience provided by phillysportstrips.com. So be listening for how we're going to give away those tickets, because we do have that big Birds game coming up this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Eagles still playing for the playoffs. They have to go on a nice run here. They have to right now match their season-high winning streak of 2 games. That's all we're asking. Match it at 2 games and then, set a new season high by beating the Cowboys the following week. But you can't do that. Like, you couldn't do it without beating the Giants. You can't do it without beating the Skins. Now you got to take care of business this weekend and make sure you do that, Trey. The defensive matchup, though, for the Eagles here, their offense versus their defense, a little tough. They get after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. They certainly do. No Ryan Kerrigan for them,
which
definitely helps. But they still have a guy like Landon Collins lurking in that secondary that does a pretty damn good job.
And then you got Matt Leonidas down there, man.
Ionitis, yes.
I know. I just like to call it Leonidas, just because of
this is DC.
This is Landover. Doesn't really have the same ring as this is Sparta.
I hate that stadium in Landover, Maryland. Everything
it smells.
About it.
You want to talk about poopy? That smells like poop.
No, it does. DC does.
I don't want to talk about
in the summer because it's built on like a top of a swamp.
Yeah.
Oh man, when those smells start coming out, woo!
Those are all the people that want to talk politics. That's not the swamp. Those are all the people.
DC is ripe.
But Trey, that defense, that's something to take seriously.
Oh yeah, that is definitely something that you're going to have to look out for, because I mean, this is a defensive front that can't get after it, and it's their interior guys that are creating most of their sacks, and also too, you got the big rookie, what's his name, Sweat. Big Sweat, that's out there.
Montez
Sweat. That's giving you some problems. This is going to be one of those games that you have to make sure that you're on point, making sure that we're making the right calls. They're going to show you some of those amoeba fronts again. They're going to give you this is going to be one of those games that you're going to get everything that's giving you problems. TEs, delayed TEs. I mean, you're going to get some tackle gains. You're going to get some corner blitzes. You need to make sure that you're aware of where Collins is, because he's their main blitzer. He's the one that has the most tackles in the backfield. And I believe as a safety, he has one sack, I think, already. So he's one of the guys that you're going to have to make sure that you keep eyes on, because he's going to be, he's the one that's going to be coming.
Yeah, Montez Sweat obviously was still on the board when the Eagles took Andre Dillard, and he does look like, in the brief amount of time we've seen him, he looks like he is your left tackle of the future. We all know that. You take him in the first round, he's going to be your tackle of the future. But yeah, Montez Sweat looks like he can play.
Yeah.
The other thing is, let's not forget, 4.440 at the combine as well.
Yeah,
that is an athletic monster.
But I do like Dillard. I like what Dillard can be. I like his possibility, where he's growing as he continues to progress in this game if you keep him on the left side.
Trey, keep him with the offensive line. Should we be a little worried? Brandon Brooks now, he's going to be playing next to Big V. And we know the comfort zone that he has with Lane Johnson, and I'm not talking about the anxiety issue at all. I'm just talking about on the field together. Could that be a problem, a bigger problem than maybe we have, talked about?
You know they're going to get tested. You know they're going to give him some games just because you have a different tackle in there. But I believe Vitae and Brandon Brooks have a good rapport, and that they played together before. So
right.
I don't think
it'll
be that big of an issue. Now, when you have Dillard in there, someone that you haven't played with before, then now that creates a problem. But having Vitae in there, I think, wouldn't be too much of a problem.
Okay.
For him.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Real quick, Sam, what are the good people saying on Twitter as far as this game on Sunday?
Will the Eagles win this Sunday is what we asked. We have just under 1,700 votes so far. 79% said yes, they will.
Now, I'm surprised it's not over, not closer to 90, because I don't expect them to blow the game out. Like, for instance, Jaws had them at a 21-9 victory. That's comfortable. That means that the offense isn't scoring. Their offense isn't scoring. They're just, you're holding them the field goals the whole time. That's pretty comfortable as far as I'm concerned. But I still see it being a little closer than that because the Eagles, they seem, it's almost impossible for them to win a game by double digits, it seems. So I can't go, especially with this offense right now.
Mm.
I think they win. We're not asking if they blow them out. So 79% you said?
Yeah.
So that's our Twitter poll right now. Who brings us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Yeah, real quick on Montez Sweat. I just looked up an old stat of mine. At the NFL Combine, Montez Sweat ran a faster 40 than 23 wide receivers.
Wow.
23 wide receivers.
And this was his combine 40?
Yeah.
What was his combine 40 again?
4.4.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, like a 4.4 40 at the combine.
At 260 pounds and that dude's size.
I think digging. Nelson Agholor was a 4.46.
That is digging because you're running on turf.
Mm.
So now you put him on a track, that's 4.3 all day.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh.
610-632.
6'6", 265.
Rasheed, you stay right there. We got open lines after that.
Make my 5'1", 45, 240. You know? And I was out there in all
you
spandex.
Were
out there in spandex,
did
man.
Did you run in the shorts and all of it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess everybody does.
Well, I didn't run at the combine. I didn't really participate at the combine. I did that in
you
Florida
were in,
State.
Yeah, you were in Florida partying. Yeah. You're fine.
And then put on the spandex and some track shoes and tried to get out there after it, man. Ran a 5.2.
Well, I also want to say Mark and Michelle, right? The wide receiver. Again, he was a 4.6 40.
So Montez Sweat ran a faster 40 than him.
That's
like a lot faster.
I'll double check Nelly's again, but I'm pretty sure he was like a 4.46.
Yeah, I think you're about right.
I think Antonio Brown was like a 4.46.
And this guy's a D end.
Sam, real quick, what did Antonio Brown say on Twitter today?
Oh, he said no more white women 2020. Like he's a campaigning no more white women. I quoted it and said, just stop. Please, just stop.
Shut your mouth. Stop talking.
He really wants to be in that NBA again. Or the NFL again.
Just put his head down.
Jeez, man. Jeez.
It's a full morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss a thing. Coming up, we'll let you hear those Sixers highlights again. Let you hear Joel Embiid with Shaq again a little bit later in the program. We'll continue to dissect this Eagles-Redskins game. But coming up, in just a minute, I want you to hear a little bit from Carson Wentz at his news conference yesterday, talking about getting after it with these wide receivers. Time at the Fanatic, 8:11.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in this segment, we'll let you hear a little bit of those 76ers. But out of the gate, Carson Wentz, the biggest criticism I've thrown to his weapons throughout the season is that they don't seem like they have that want to make a play. Now, I thought with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, it was a lack of knowing the playbook, knowing the routes, whatever it might be, getting on the same page as his quarterback. Well, he stepped up and made a play against the Giants. And I know who it was against. We all know who they played against. We get it, right? But what it comes down to is whether or not those guys are going to make a play. So regardless of who they're playing against, their biggest enemy for a lot of the season has been themselves. So to see them at least conquer that enemy, all right, fine, good for them. But Carson talked yesterday about getting those guys all on the same page and making sure everybody knew what the other person was doing to have a better understanding of everybody else's ability going into this game. Take a listen.
It keeps changing every week, you know, and it's part of the NFL and it's part of the injuries that happen. But, you know, I think the key is just keeping everyone confident on the same page. Talking ball with them, talking through things and getting as much reps and as much work as we can, but talking through it a lot and make sure everyone's dialed in on the same page has been key.
Over-communication. I think every business talks about this, that, oh, nobody communicates. And everyone complains because no one's on the same page. From what it sounds like, Carson's been going around and talking to some different receivers yesterday in the locker room. What it seems like is these guys are doing whatever it's going to take in the last 3 games of this season to get on that same page, because that all we got, all we need mentality that we've come to a point to mock most recently has to be applied, because there's nobody else coming here. There's no huge acquisition being made. Carson, I'll say this. Going forward, he has everybody that needs to prove themselves, and he's the guy slinging them the football. Even when it comes to a guy like Boston Scott, who is coming off by far a career game, as we all know, against the Giants, when I talked to him yesterday in the locker room, Boston Scott has the shortest memory of anyone I've ever talked to. Like, talking about coming off a great game, he was like, yeah, so what? Like, good. That was his attitude. And that's exactly the attitude you wanted to have.
Yeah.
We talked all day yesterday about mindset, mentality, approach to the game, the mental aspects of it. You want a young guy like that, that barely has NFL experience, to go out there, do his job, and then move on from it. And then just try to replicate it the following week.
Yeah.
And that's the exact mindset Boston Scott had yesterday, who was one of the stars of the game against the Giants. So it comes down to Boston Scott, comes down to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and it comes down to Greg Ward stepping up and making plays, and possibly even Josh Perkins, because he'll mostly likely be active again on game day as well.
Uh-huh.
So it comes down to those guys making plays for their quarterback. Carson's got a big challenge in front of him here. For all the people, and I'm included in this, so for people like me that said, just get Carson guys that want to make a play, and he'll look like a great quarterback. Now he's got guys that at least want to make that play. Guys we don't have to doubt their want to. These guys have good skill sets. Now it's just a matter of making everything come to fruition on Sunday again. Because now's the time where you're going to have these positions like Greg Ward from start to finish, where you're going to be a key target for your quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, asking Jaws about it, like, were the Eagles a little negligent in not looking at Boston Scott a little more, especially when Darren Sproles goes out, at not looking at Greg Moore or Greg Ward a little bit more when you're getting the lack of production from the wide receivers? You know, Jones was like, yeah, in hindsight, sure. But isn't that the job of this front office? Isn't that the job of these guys, the coaches, to see, okay, Darren Sproles is out. Maybe this Boston Scott can lend you a little bit of something. Take a look at it. Greg Ward, the running that he did in college, that's to me, he's a guy that, like, a really good team, they dust off every once in a while in a game and give him the ball a little bit, and you're like, oh, man, that's a good weapon to have. You don't overuse it, but you use it once in a while. They didn't even bring him up.
I'm not going to say when yet, but I do think they're going to dial up a play where Greg Ward throws the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to.
Oh.
Yeah, I think not.
I think it'd be rude if you didn't, to be honest with you.
Honestly, he probably misses it.
he absolutely misses it. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll also let you know how you can win a trip to Landover for the game on Sunday. Let's get to Rasheed in West Philly. What's up, Rasheed?
Hello, how are you? Good morning.
Rasheed, do I got you, buddy? You there?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
You sound like you're a mile away from your phone, brother.
Give me one second.
We got nothing going on.
We got all day.
Yeah, we know.
Can you hear me now, buddy?
This is not going well. We'll go to you in a second. Mike and Del Ram, what's happening?
What's going on, bud?
Good, bud.
Hey, a couple things. You know, it was great to see and even hearing Joel Embiid last night and Charles. You know, 9 times out of 10 when a young player gets criticized, they probably don't take that kind of high road. It's refreshing to hear him respond that way, especially to come out and prove it in a game against a big game against the Celtics. So that was really exciting. The Eagles game this weekend, I have no concerns about it. But the only thing I want to see is a huge offensive day. They got to put something together against a real bad team. I've been saying this every week. They need something to spark their behind going into a playoff run, and they definitely need something like that before the Dallas game. So,
they need everything. I mean, Mike, they've been emptying, they've been the kitchen sinking it, more or less. They've been looking at this. You have inspiring speeches from Jason Kelsey, Malcolm Jenkins also after the game, Doug Peterson really applauding his players after the win as well, calling out all the young guys. They are pulling out all the stops to make sure that they could do another late season rally.
Yeah, and they got to, because they can make some amazing things happen. But I have one question before I get off. And I really hope you guys aren't wasting a great opportunity, because I haven't heard anything about it yet. But I want to know what's up with Super Hole. What's going on, guys? I haven't heard nothing.
We have
an opportunity to seize this day before the Super Bowl in this city.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys don't waste it.
I appreciate that, brother. We're trying to cook something up for you. Don't you worry. Rasheed is back with us. Rasheed, do we have you?
Yes, sir. Sorry about that, gentlemen.
What's happening?
No, I'm just wanting to talk about the Eagles receivers. Like, to tell you the truth, like,
Like, we'll miss Alshon's catch radius and ability to catch the 50-50 ball. But at the end of the day, I feel like the guys, it's just like a better connection with the young guys. I feel like Greg Ward got some juice. He can give me that ability to beat one-on-one man press. So I feel good about us moving forward, especially like he answered, Carson answered all the questions that like a lot of the reporters in the city and the people who say, oh, he's not a clutch guy and he don't come up big and in the big moments. So I felt like on Monday night he answered all those questions. And like and the big difference that I seen was the no huddle. The no huddle and him able to get out on the edges, like sprint right and bootlegs and able to roll and throw on the throwing on a run. And I seen a stat that was going across Instagram yesterday where he had the best outside the pocket numbers in the league. And I feel like we can get back to that. I feel like that we should win these games coming up down the stretch. And I feel like that we can make the playoffs. And with us like having a home playoff game, with possibly it being San Francisco coming here to Philly, I feel like it could be give me a possible good like test for us, and I feel like that we'll win that game. And then like the most important thing is that if we win that playoff game here at home, Deshaun Jackson will be in play. And to everybody that I talk to, only person that can make a truly, truly deep difference, and I don't care what team it is. It could be the number one seed, number two seed. If we got Deshaun Jackson traveling with us, like, nobody's going to want to see us. It'll open up everything else, and I feel good about the championship DNA, and I feel good about us possibly going on the run.
Now they are going to win, like you said, they're going to win against San Francisco, whoever they would face in the first round of the playoffs, whoever they would host, and then week two would be when Deshaun Jackson would be available to this team yet again. But there's one thing that I don't want to look past, and that's the fact that Carson Wentz did it. That's good. That's a fourth quarter comeback. That's a overtime victory. That's great to see. But and I hate to, and I don't want to belittle anything, but like I was just talking about short memory with Boston Scott, Carson Wentz got to have that short memory as well. It's good to do it once. Let's see it again. Like, first off, I hope they're not in a situation to have to do it again. Let's just get a clutch victory. I don't need a clutch scoring drive right now. I need a clutch victory. If it comes down to it in the fourth quarter, this game's close, the Eagles down a field goal, a touchdown, whatever it might be, and Carson Wentz can lead them back with this group again, great. I also wouldn't mind like a 35-10, you know what I'm saying? Like a victory. But short memory, you can't just say, oh, now he's clutch because he did it one time.
In the words of Jamie, I get floored when people call and talk about things in the future for this team. You know, oh, yeah, they're going to, you know, you get that first home playoff game again. Wait a minute. They just played the two worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Went 1-1, and the one they won, it was overtime.
Mm.
If you're looking anywhere past 1 o'clock on Sunday, you're an idiot. Sorry. Stop with playoffs and hosting and Deshaun coming back. And stop. You have no right to look anywhere past 1 o'clock on Sunday. I mean, I hate to be a downer. That's God's honest truth.
You've been a downer all day, Bob.
I've been down all week.
Adam Schefter sent us cookies, yeah, and you're going to be down
we
today?
We present to you a beautiful stat. It's taken me 4.5 hours to try to eat one, but I'm trying.
stat, Bob, about the Eagles being the all-time sack leader in NFL history since they recorded in 1982. And you poo-pooed it.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
No, I didn't poo-poo it.
Just took the wind out of the sails.
Go ahead, you can bring it, but I didn't poo-poo it. I just said, Jamie said, I was floored. Why? It's just a stat that they're the best at. Well, I don't know why that floored you.
You're poo-pooing.
You're doing it again. What'd you call him? Joe Camel?
Yeah.
Isn't he illegal now or something?
Yeah, probably. I was like, oh, look at you. Rolled up bag of cigarettes in the arm sleeve, leaning on the convertible. Oh, sack stats don't impress me. I'm Joe Camel.
I like how you have him as a greaser. You have Bob Cooley as a greaser. You know, he's Danny Zuko because he makes your stats stupid.
Nice leather jacket, Bob.
Hey, T-Bird. What's happening? Is Kinnicky around?
It's an IROC.
Wow. I guess it would be an IROC. But the IROC was, I think, after the Grease.
No, that was 80, dude.
Yeah, it was boom, boom.
I was trying to give Bob a little credit. I didn't want to age shame him.
You didn't want to go boomer? You didn't want to go with the boomer aspect?
With the IROC on the bottom panel down there. IROC Z.
People would say that to me, like, "Oh yeah, go get your IROC," and I'm like, "What are you even talking about? What is IROC? What?" And then people were slurring me, is what they were doing.
Yeah, it was an Italian joke.
I don't even appreciate.
It's not right.
By the way, I got people on Amazon shaming me.
Yeah, well, that's deserved.
Yeah, I agree. That's deserved. I had
you've never gotten anything on Amazon either.
That's not the point. You guys just picked on me for 5 minutes. It's your turn.
I had an Amazon package arrive last night, Mark. It was great.
What was it? Christmas present?
A keyboard for my iPad since my MacBook is all right.
How does it work?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about it.
It should just snap on. You're good.
Yeah. I just forgot it this morning.
Oh, I see what's happening. Because you poured coffee all over your other one?
Yeah.
Oh, so it was just the keyboard that was fried?
Yeah.
Ah, you're fine.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. You're making it sound like you needed a whole new...
Oh, no. The computer's dead. I've got a keyboard for my iPad.
Understood.
And nobody cares about this at all.
No, not at all.
Okay. But Amazon
as much
is great.
As your sack stat.
Sack stat is amazing.
Terrible.
It's a bar graph. It keeps moving. It's awesome.
All right.
I liked watching it.
It's awesome.
The fact that Eagles wound up number one didn't throw me to the floor like it did James Lynch.
Let's look at let's talk to B-Hawk here. B-Hawk, what are you liking about them Sixers, brother? What is the issue here? What's going on here? Jimmy.
Oh, not another phone issue.
Jimmy in Lehigh Valley. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Yo.
All right.
Hey, so I gotta tell you guys, I got to get a little bit of my tray on and say you're welcome. Because last year during playoff time, I talked to you, Mr. Mark Farzetta.
Uh-huh.
And I told you that I bought a Ben Simmons jersey to wear during the playoffs. I'm Jimmy the Cable Guy. You said to wear it all the time.
Uh-huh.
The network.
Yes.
Yesterday, I broke out my Joel Embiid jersey for the first time this season, and he went off.
Boom.
There we go.
You're welcome.
Hold on. Let me just say, I guess, a belated thank you. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
So that game, I mean, Joel looked dominant last night, and it was great to see. He's still just a little sluggish in like the third, fourth quarter. He was behind, and he's just got to get a little bit quicker getting down the floor, and I think he could do that all the time, if not better.
Mm-hmm. No, I think he can too. It's the energy's there. He just needs to bring it every night. That's what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on the Eagles, to be honest, I talked to you guys last week about it, and I said that that maybe we needed. What I think is that there's too much damage there with Alshon and with Nelson and all that, and Carson just needs fresh blood in there. I think we're going to go in, we're going to beat the Redskins, and then I think we're going to go in and beat Dallas. I'm not looking for a Super Bowl run. I'm just, like you guys say, I'm looking for Carson to get a playoff game in him and get acclimated to how the playoffs run and to build his exposure to the playoffs.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Jimmy. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I think that's vitally important that he gets a playoff.
Exactly.
Game.
Absolutely. The money kicks in next year. $107.9 million guaranteed. Do you want your quarterback that's locked into that money right now? Do you want that quarterback with no playoff experience? Mm. Or you want him with at least a playoff game under his belt?
Yeah.
I'd prefer that playoff game.
Yeah, feel that do-or-die pressure. Feel what it's like to not know if you're going to play the next game or not, depending on your performance. I think it's huge that he gets a playoff game under his belt this year.
All right. Let's just say this for a second. Let's entertain my curiosity, Bob, before we get to anything negative.
He's probably going to be negative.
No, he's not going to be negative.
Can you shut up?
We're pulling for you, Bob. Be positive.
Trey, just imagine this for a second.
Okay.
Imagine the universe where Carson Wentz goes out on Sunday, 1 o'clock, Landover, Maryland, Redskins, FedEx Field. Imagine throws for like 300 yards, 350. Let's just go crazy. Uh-huh. 350, four touchdowns. The offense,
how cool is that?
The offense steamrolls this defense of the Redskins. They put up whatever, you know, might be, you know, 40 points. They win 40-17, okay, wow. Whatever. How overhyped will we be going into that Sunday game against the Cowboys?
Oh, super.
Will there be any tempered expectations? Will anybody?
No, absolutely not. Kidding me?
We just beat the Redskins and the Giants.
What would be the fun and tempered expectations?
But you just did it with a group of guys that you didn't even start the season with.
You make a fine point.
Everybody would be through the roof.
Yes.
We should have made this change way back when.
Way back when. 610-632-0975. Coming up in just 1 second, we're going to play a little sounder for you, folks. We'll also give you the number where you could win the road trip to Landover to catch the game on Sunday, including a tailgate, unlimited drinks, so much great stuff, all courtesy of some people that are doing a great job as per usual. Jamie, you just went to Miami with PhillySportsTrips.com, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Vince and Bob own the company. They do a great job, top-notch trips. So whoever's winning this is going to have a blast on Sunday. I'll be there in spirit with you with as a little FOMO ghost.
We'll let you know how you can win that, but we haven't talked to any Flyers today, folks. Mark wants to talk a little Flyers. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I have a question. Going back to the Ottawa game, why is Tkachuk not suspended for mugging Lawton?
Yeah, that was a dirty cross check in the back, and then to jump him afterwards just to try to get him to retaliate. That was awful.
Mark, it lends to the only real sports conspiracy theory that I believe in, one of two actually, that the Flyers forever will pay for their sins of the 70s.
Okay.
There we go. You're welcome. Well, boom, just like that.
That was simple.
Let's go Flyers.
He was like, what are the 70s?
He was like, oh,
exactly. Right. Yeah. What sense is this guy talking
Wait,
about?
Huh? There was things that happened before 1990? What the hell are you talking about?
Apparently not sacks before 1982.
Which is amazing.
Weird.
I mean, I know you're not disappointed about it, Trey, because your fellow offensive line brother, and they never had it recorded.
But it was like,
as a fan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
1982
you
is when
know what you're stopping too.
Good point.
Yeah,
see, that's even more. Yeah, good point. Yeah, never mind. You're sort of bragging right for yourself. Oh, exactly. We had the fewest sacks. Ha ha. Everyone else sucks. Yeah. No, I get you. But yeah, since 1982, and the reason this came up is that because the Eagles are the all-time sack leader in NFL history.
That's crazy.
And this was highlighted by one of those crazy bar graphs that make its way around social media now.
Which is absolutely amazing.
The Tribune. It's not Chicago Tribune, but it's some
it's
Tribune.
Pittsburgh,
it's
believe.
Pittsburgh, yes. It is.
Because the guy who dug it up says the Steelers were and fell off.
Steelers, Pirates, it's a whole bunch. Yeah,
see, when I think Pittsburgh, I think of the Gazette.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Is that still around?
I think so.
The Williamsport Sun Gazette is around. Is that the same thing?
Nope.
Oh, close.
Gazettes are all over the
place.
But anyway, 610-632-0955. Now, here's the deal. We're going to give away this great trip, and we're going to do it right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are the fifth caller, that's right, the fifth caller to 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. If you're the fifth caller, you will win this amazing trip to Landover, Maryland. You'll get a great tailgate courtesy of Cavs Catering. You'll get it all courtesy of the great people at PhillySportsTrips.com. You can also check them out for amazing holiday gifts. It's a trip to Landover, Maryland, a road trip to watch the birds. You can listen right now, as we're telling you, and the sounder, when you hear the sounder, you'll be the fifth caller to that number. Also, the Anthony Gargano Show, Mike Missinelli Show later today. Listen to Sounder. If you're the fifth caller for the morning show, when you hear this Sounder, guess what? You will be headed to Landover, Maryland to take in this game. Play that Sounder for you right now.
The road trip.
You coming?
The road trip.
Lines are open for you at 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. Time at the Fanatic, 8:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey, everybody, Bob Cooney here, and there are always more ways to win on FanDuel Sportsbook, live in Pennsylvania now in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. FanDuel Sportsbook is the premier mobile sportsbook betting app for a reason. That's because they've made it easy to sign up and deposit, and FanDuel processes your withdrawals quickly and get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Talk about why you like, the reason I like this app so much, you got to talk about it with everybody. It's so easy to get to, call it up,
I place my bets in the afternoon. That way I'm ready to go that night. And right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is available in Pennsylvania, which means if you're at the Birds game, you can bet live bet the game right from your seats or sit at the comfort of your own home on your couch and live bet from there. This isn't a thought experiment. This is for real. That's right. Right now, FanDuel is giving new users their first bet risk-free. Place a bet and FanDuel will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win within 7 days of signing up. To claim your risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android. And be sure to use promo code Bob so they know that we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We do have a winner. We're sending someone to Landover, Maryland. Hopefully they bring some luck to the Birds. Pat from Blackwood. Congratulations, Pat from Blackwood. You have won those tickets. Enjoy yourself. You're going to be having a wonderful, wonderful time down there. Also, this fine Football Friday brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice. Malpraxis. For malpraxis, also nursing home abuse, remember Rosenbaum, over 2 decades helping our community. And one more time, we do want to thank the people of PhillySportsTrips.com for helping us out with that trip, and also Cavs Catering for providing some fine food.
Good times will be had.
Yes.
In awful FedEx Field.
Smelly, actually.
And what do you think? Because I think I know a lot of Redskins fans, and they've been selling their tickets to this game. I think it's going to be 40 to 50% Eagles fans.
Oh, absolutely.
I might push for the 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Another home field road game. Must be nice for those Eagles players. No excuses, gents.
A little bit. Trey, real quick, we have a guest in studio here.
Yeah, we got one of my homies that flew up, man, Big Forrest Connolly. You know, I call him Big Foe. You know, so just one of the guys that kind of broke me in when I first got to Florida State, you know.
Really?
Yeah, because I came in as a defensive lineman, and he was an offensive lineman. And so, you know, he and Patrick McNeil, Big Deal McNeil, you know, really just pushed me around when I first got there, you know, kind of helped toughen the skin when I first got there. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my man, Big Foe.
Welcome
Big
in.
Foe.
Thank you guys for having me.
Good to have you. Now, you do some broadcasting work yourself.
Yeah, I do college football for ESPN.
There you go. Of course you do. My man. Awesome. Yeah. Now, Trey told a story earlier about being challenged by Lawrence Taylor. Have you heard this story?
No, I have not.
Trey, I wasn't there for that one.
I don't know if you ever conveyed the story to your friend over here. So here's what happened. They took gloves off and slapped each other in the face. And I challenge you to a trench war. So basically, you were at the Pro Bowl, though, is how this happened?
Yeah, I was at the Pro Bowl, man.
One of your many times at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, and just in there, you know, just jawing in with Lawrence Taylor. Just at a bar, you know, just hanging out outside, you know, having umbrella drinks, you know. Having a couple of umbrella drinks, you know.
The idea of you and Lawrence Taylor yelling at each other about like who would have beat who with a glass with an umbrella in it in your hand.
Yeah, a little pineapple slice on the side, you know.
That makes it so much better. First of all, supposedly what had happened was they were talking about, you know, who would have beat who and all that stuff. And they had these little drinks in their hand. And they also said, well, let's move the furniture.
You know, we were just talking trash. You know? Just talking trash. Yeah, you know, but yeah, Big Foe, man, when we were in college, man, you know, during my Florida State days.
He was really tame, right? He was really tame, Big Foe?
He was a little laid back. You know, he got a little bit wilder as he got older.
Has he always been the Renaissance man?
Absolutely.
No, really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did he ever paint? He didn't ever paint at did he?
No.
Okay. I just want to ask the question.
No, we were never painting.
Was he with you draft night?
No, because you didn't come down for draft.
I didn't come down.
Yeah.
There's a little wink right there, like, we're not telling stories. Just keep that. Don't say anything. Don't say a damn thing. Just so everyone knows. Don't say a damn thing.
But you did call me up during the draft. Yeah, he called me during the draft.
Well, remember, I played a game on you.
Yeah.
I called him, and I told him I was another team.
That's so cruel.
We were getting ready to draft him, and he got real quiet on the phone, and I started laughing.
Please tell me you were some crappy team from 1998.
I can't remember who it was, but it was early, because, you know, you went 12th, right?
Hey, 11th, yeah.
11th to 12th, yeah, so it was maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah. I called him.
This is Forrest from the Cincinnati Bengals. You've been drafted.
Traded up to get you. Welcome to hell. So that's awesome. And so how long do you guys know each other?
Since what, 93?
Since I came in, 93, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you
guys. Now, you didn't know right away, they drafted you as a D-line draft.
I came in as a D-line.
Right, but you didn't know right away their plan was to move you to O-line,
nah,
right?
No, not right away, but then they had me do, like, a lot of scout team offensive line stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they set him up. They set him up.
And they let him, he says they let him go to the buffet an awful lot, too.
He was 270 when he came in.
Uh-huh.
So they let him just eat. They never said anything to Trey. They let him do what he wanted to do. And then when the spring came around, he was about 310, 315. And they said, well, you got to get back down to 270 or you're going to play offensive tackle. So you make the choice.
They had the plan.
Yeah. But it worked out.
It sure did.
It worked out.
It worked out great.
Yeah.
And then we had the, you know, we had the green, we had the dot diet, you see. Once we got a little heavy, you know, and Miss Betty and them, man, they had us on this. You could only eat what was on the, we had like a little green dot on there. You see what I'm saying? So we were always on the dot diet.
Boiled chicken.
Yeah.
Rice with one pat of butter?
Yeah. No Guthries, you know. No, you can't get no Guthries in, you know. If you Guthries is like a
yeah, I was looking at Mark, you don't know what they are either.
I got nothing. Yeah.
Like it's like a chicken finger spot, like with this amazing little sauce that you dip your fries and nuggets in. Huh? You know,
you had me a chicken finger.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, if you ever been in the Florida area with Guthries, it's
Guthries.
Yeah, yeah. Guthries, yeah.
Now, as far as
a good box, that's what you call it.
What are you doing in Philly?
I've got a game at Muhlenberg College tomorrow. They play against North Central Illinois, the semifinal for the Division III National Championship.
All right, so you'll be doing up there doing color analysts?
Yes.
Okay, awesome, man. Yeah. Good for you, bro. Well, good to have you in Philly, man. Look at this.
Absolutely.
You just fly in?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, it's a great airport we have, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Don't you love it?
It was cool. I got here safe. That's all. It's a great airport.
Wow. That is a low but grateful bar. Well, it's great to have you in studio, man. Thanks for coming in to hang out with us a little bit here.
Absolutely.
Let's get to our man. Oh, coming up in a minute, we got to let you hear the highlights of last night's 76ers game. And again, we will play for you the highlight that happened after the game. I've never seen anything like this. Trey, you were just talking about Forrest, or Big Foe, mentoring a little bit, right? Yeah. Under the wing, all that. How about Shaq and Charles Barkley mentoring Joel Embiid post-game? It was not a post-game interview. It was in the setting of a post-game interview, but I don't think a single question got asked. I think it was just a bunch of statements, requests, critiques, if you will, from the two guys that were critiqued for critiquing, from Shaq and Chuck, saying to Joel Embiid, hey, this is a great player we know you can be. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a single... We'll listen to it again, see if there's a question asked, but we'll listen to it a little bit later, and we'll also let you hear the highlights of the game. Scott and Barrington, what's up, brother?
Hello, Brother Mark. What's going on?
What's happening?
I'm going to take you off the speakerphone.
All right.
Sorry about that. Morning, crew. What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Enjoy listening to you guys. Last night's win was definitely, definitely big, but I mean to be a downer, but I know they've been trying to change Embiid. I'm just a little worried with that. Not saying he's Rodman, but you saw what happened when he was with the Spurs, Rodman. And then when he went to Chicago, they let him be himself. Are you still kind of worried about, because Embiid's spoken on how they're trying to change him. Are you guys worried about that?
I am not worried in the least bit. I think JoJo pouted for a while, and even when he pouted, he was still a very good player. But with this extra added motivation, I think he'll be
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.